Voice Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block off East Cotton, open 7 days a week. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, guess what?
What?
We're here again.
Yay!
Live in the studio.
We're out running the streets.
Distancing apart here, but good morning and welcome
morning.
To the El Paso History Radio Show. Like last week, previous week, we need to be able to hear something about something else than the main issue of the day, which is why we're here.
Yep.
And I normally get lost in this radio show till about we hit the news in the second hour and I come on back down here. But anyway, so we're proceeding with a radio show that we had planned weeks ago for today. And we still say Texas history begins in El Paso. And good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, everyone out there. I hope you're all not getting too terribly stir crazy.
No, we're good because we're going to talk to him for 2 hours. So another radio show, KTSM AM 690. And it's about, obviously, El Paso area history as usual on a Saturday morning. People can find us streaming live on the internet. How do they do that? Now, there's a different place than what I have written on your script.
Oh, I didn't even look. Shame on me.
It's .com.
It says howdy. No, that's the wrong one. Go to ktsmradio.com.
.iheart.com.
.iheart.
Don't put the com in the middle. I should have put the ktsmradio.iheart.com is actually the better link.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I use at home.
Because this is wrong.
Yeah, it's hard to say out there. But what you can do is you can also, when you get to iHeart, you can just load in KTSM and it'll take you right to the station.
It'll work if you got the app for sure. Yeah. Anyway, so departure from normal, no trivia today, so it goes. Your turn.
No trivia today. Hold on, I'm moving some stuff. No,
we're ready.
I'm lazy.
Even if you're not.
I'm lazy. No, we're not going to have any trivia. We suspended it because our sponsors are really kind of in a situation. They don't need to be giving away anything. They need to be saving all their pennies and dimes so they can be there to open up as soon as we get the okay. And but definitely you can call up to our sponsors. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah, too. We'll give you the details as we go through the show. We got their phone numbers handy. So we got a history moment for sure, right?
Yes, I do. And what did I do it on today?
You did that one on the brewery.
Oh, beer. I'm hungover. That's why I don't remember.
You drank the history moment, did you?
No, I needed some lighting. So.
So it goes. But that's another story we'll talk about top of second hour. No lunch today, but I do encourage you to go to Pepe's and Amigos for takeout. I did that to one each this week.
Yep.
And we'll give the phone numbers to you shortly. Okay. And no trivia for a while, as I said. Right there, but we do have a full show today, and it's a guy we're going to put on anyway, but by the way things go, we're going to have him in by phone. His name is Al Borrego. Al Borrego, good morning. How in the world are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jackson?
Actually,
hey.
We're actually pretty good in here doing neat things. Speak right into your phone, because we got to do this for 2 hours. Are you up for it?
I'm up for it.
Okay, fair enough. You're not on the speakerphone, are you?
I am. Do you want me to get off of
it? It just kind of rings hollow in
echoes
on the air.
Yeah.
So if we lose you, call.
Is that better?
Much better.
Talk right in that gizmo.
That smooth voice.
Now, I should explain people who you are, what you're up. A lot of people know who you are already. But you're going to review the annual history seminar in San Elizario and maybe summarize some El Paso history that was planned for a conference that you do every year at this time. You're kind of like one of the main history promoters in San LA, I take it, right?
Well, I kind of do that a little bit, yeah.
Oh, come on. You do it all.
Promote our history or culture and all that.
You do it all day long. I even heard you went to Spain with Miss Vera, who was our guest last week, and you took one of the Tigua former governors with you.
Yeah, actually, that was the second trip with the governor, but the first trip was a couple years ago in October. We went to Agra to check out the Blue Nun. The lady.
Oh,
blue.
Yeah.
Where did you go to check that out?
She's still lying there in Agreda in Spain. They're in near Madrid. It's not that far, about 2 hours away from Madrid.
Well, you want to summarize that, because Martha last week took that on, and she was going to have this as her topic at your conference in April. Now she's still going to do it, and you moved the conference to September, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we've moved that over to September the 10th through the 13th.
Well, we hope to see you there, and it'll be I've got the list you sent me of your speakers. This is fabulous. So what I thought we'd do on today's program is go through the list of people and groups that you had lined up anyway. But since you mentioned the Blue Nun, why don't you summarize that for people? Maybe they missed the show last week. That's a fascinating story.
Yeah, it was a kind of a wild story in the beginning, and it was something that I decided, well, I want to investigate it. And to add it as part of our nomination for the Camino Real UNESCO thing. And in order to put it in there, I had to make sure that it was real. So I decided to go to Spain and mention to Martha and her husband Robert that we were going to be going. And they said, yeah, let's all go. And we all went and investigated the whole story and came up with some really, really crazy stuff that makes a lot of sense there in Spain, with her appearing to many of the natives that weren't actually on the Camino Real, or they were kind of off the beaten path, and convinced them to go get baptized up in Isleta Pueblo there near what is now Albuquerque.
But she did this while she was in Spain and they were in Albuquerque.
Right, she bilocated, and I mean, she appeared to natives well over 500 different times. So she did appear. She was an embroiderist, and I observed it myself there. You know, she did some embroidery with some roadrunners and some blue bonnets and some native symbols, and you know, you didn't have Facebook back then or. Or Instagram, so you couldn't really see what you're looking at unless you actually were there.
So she was appearing to these people across the continents, but she took their images and did them in embroidery. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Exactly. That's what convinced me. You know, aside from many, many, many documents that exist of her confessions to high priests on what was happening, she levitated. There's a lot of things. You know, with her bilocation is the way she did it, and there's collaborating stories here, and just even here with the Tiguas here in Isleta, that where there's old stories about her coming over Guadalupe or natives coming over Guadalupe Pass to get baptized, even here in Isleta.
Wow.
Which was way after her death. So,
Al, can you explain?
Really interesting stuff.
Al, can you explain what bilocation is? I understand, Jackson understands, but a lot of people don't. Was she in a trance? Was she sleeping? I mean, there's so many different things that are involved with bilocation.
Well, bilocation, in her sense, was while she was in Agra, never really left there, eh? She never left there.
Her body.
So she was in two places at one time.
Wow. Well, I think there's spirits in the Christian history who have said they've done that, and she's one that did it in semi-modern times. So what years are you talking about here? 1680?
In the 1600s. Yeah, mid-1600s.
Oh, man.
And you know, the greatest one is a document that I have a copy of, from New Spain, where one of the priests came to investigate, wanted to investigate, sent a letter to the viceroy and asked him about a convent in Isleta, which is where Albuquerque is. Of course, they didn't have convents back then. It was a mission, is what it was. But they didn't have missions in Spain, so you got to really put it into context, but. He asked about this one, if there was one. He said, yeah, he came. Then he went to investigate. He actually came to here, came all the way up the Camino. And then when he got to Isleta Pueblo, asked for a guy that she had mentioned in a confession, which was to her a captain of some natives. She called him Del Puerto, which means one night. And when he came to investigate, he bumped into the guy there in Isleta Pueblo. and asked him, you know, well, how did you end up here? And he told the priest the story.
Wow.
And said that the best thing that I really liked about it, because you got to remember, all this area was New Mexico. I mean, from San Elizario north was New Mexico for almost 200 years.
New Spain, really, right?
But what you really got to think about is the Tuerto told the priest that when she walked, her blue habit would drag on the floor.
Oh, boy.
And these blue flowers would grow.
Oh, my.
Guess what those are.
All right, Al, that's a summary kind of what Martha Vera is going to be saying at your conference.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just one of the speakers you have coming up, and that conference now has been moved to September. We've already stirred some people up on the phone, and let's go to Bill. Bill, what is on your mind this morning?
Yeah, I just was wondering if you could tell me where Rockhound State Park is.
Rockhound?
Yeah.
Not offhand.
In New Mexico?
There's a city of rocks over north of Deming, if you might look at that.
No,
or get a hold of the internet. We're not really versed on that one. Rockhound.
Okay.
Interesting question. All right, we're taking questions basically today about the history of San Elizario and the Camino Real. And, well, thank you for your call anyway. There's other callers coming in already. So we'll get to more callers in a minute. Al Borrego, we got you on here for a while. Do you currently, are you an officer in the San Elizario Genealogy and Historical Society?
That's correct. Yeah, I'm the president.
Aha! See, I knew you were something important. And so, as that official, you guys are the ones putting on the conference in San Elizario in September.
That's correct. Yeah, the Genealogy Historical Society puts on our 29th annual conference.
Well, talk a bit about. We got to go to break in about 3 minutes, but talk a bit about the society itself, because it's basically a genealogy and historical society, and it's headquartered there at the Portales, right? Tell us about that.
That's correct, yeah. We're here in San Elizario at the Portales Museum. We run three museums. We run the Portales Museum, the Old El Paso County Jail Museum, which is the first jail in El Paso County, and the Veterans Historical Museum as well.
Where's that?
The society's been around since about 1989 here in San Elizario.
Where's the Veterans Museum?
The Veterans Museum is also on Main Street, the building right next to the jail.
Okay.
It's housed in there. It's a pretty large museum. It used to be a little tiny museum inside the Portales, but now it's a large museum. It's the Eduardo Pedregón Veterans Museum.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that adobe building that is now called the jail, the other end of it was the county seat, was it not?
Well, the village of San Elizario was the first county seat in El Paso County. It shifted from Isleta to San Elizario a few times during a 5-year period, but I mean, it was the first county seat when San Elizario was a county seat in 1850. El Paso County consisted of 7 of today's counties all the way down to Del Rio, Texas.
Isn't that amazing?
So there was 7 counties were part of El Paso County when San Elizario was a county seat.
Can you imagine?
We, of course, had the first county courthouse here. First, we have a lot of firsts for the county. We had the first public school. We had the first private school, Loreto Academy. I mean, all of that was here in the beginning. We had the first county judge, you know, C.A. Hoppin. Even Simeon Hart, I think, was the third county judge of El Paso County. So, I mean, a lot of stuff that people don't talk about because it was down here in San Elizario.
Well, that's why I decided to put you on the radio, dude. We need to hear about this stuff because that's incredibly important to the history of the area. And it's really fun to hear about that. And that's one thing you've been digging into. We're going to take a break here and come back in a minute. But you have also been digging into the Camino Real that a lot of us sit here in El Paso and think, oh, yeah, it goes up near Santa Fe and beyond. But you took a look at it and said, well, there's another 1,200 miles that goes down to Mexico City, right?
That's correct.
Okay,
That's the part that we're going to talk about.
Okay, fair enough. We'll be back in a minute. And it's Al Borrego on the phone here and as our guest. I'll put you on hold here for a second here. But also, Melissa, we have a phone number or two to throw out there because we're not doing trivia.
No, we're not doing trivia. And I do want to point out, Rockhound Park is in Deming on Highway 143.
Rockhound?
Yeah, Rockhound Park in Deming, New Mexico.
Is that the one where you can go pick up a rock and take it home?
Yeah.
Oh. After a while, it's going to be gone.
Well, hopefully. That's why I think they can build homes out there then.
Oh, no. But it is over there. There's another one called City of Rocks.
Yeah, City. That's a cool place.
Oh,
yeah.
And that's north of Deming, 20 miles, give or take.
Yeah, I camped there years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
It's an amazing place. That's another whole thing. Okay, so we'll take a call or two. You got a phone number handy?
Call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We want to tell you to be sure to hit the like button on our Facebook page, El Paso History Radio Show, and also our YouTube channel. Subscribe to that. How many are on Facebook this morning?
I think we have almost 9,500 people are on Facebook looking at it and still adding up. And also, there's a recommendation button now that Facebook's put up. So if you recommend the show, please click on the far right top corner of our Facebook page.
What do we get out of that?
El Paso History Radio Show.
We get kudos?
Yeah, it's like, hey. Oh, good boy, good girl. You're doing
attaboy.
A good job. Yeah.
Give us some attaboys. The other thing is the YouTube channel. That's El Paso History TV / El... Well, no, it's start over. YouTube.com/... El Paso History TV. And that's the one where we got 16 segments up there already of our ABC 7 TV series. And that's from El Paso History TV. It's online there. And we've been doing this, oh, goodness, since 2018.
Forever.
Well, a couple of years, and we're about done with it. But there's four more to go. It's your man, Bernie.
Yeah.
Bernie Sargent is front and center with a cowboy hat. And we did Loretto Academy, the Toast Architecture. We got four more ready to go whenever ABC 7 decides there's more stories to do than the story they're doing.
We're going to be doing it forever.
Bless their heart. Well, you know,
there's so much history.
We have a diversion ready
That's
to
right.
go. When they're ready, we'll have it there. And what it is a bunch of stuff on the missions in El Paso, including drone footage of the Juarez mission, which just blows me away. Because you know that was once upon a time a little building there all by itself.
Well, could we encourage the callers to contact?
They don't need to be hassled by us.
Well, no, I had some friends who were asking me that, and I'm like, oh, that'll ask
Well, you. We'll tell you what we can do, and they'll do what they can That's over right. there, because ABC7's a good friend. Anyway, so future segments coming up there. We got Marx Moxa. That's an interesting name, and he's on a recent subscriber there. Also, just as we normally do at this point, we talk about the Museum of Archaeology. Well, they're closed, and they don't do archery.
Yeah.
One more thing to let you know, the YouTube videos that are on there, not only Bernie is on there with all the YouTube stuff we've done on ABC 7, but there's another playlist. I decided to put all my videos up there that I've been making for 20 years.
Oh, cool.
And I put them all up there.
Including
and
the ones for Back East and such, or just local?
El Paso videos we do on El Paso Gold Series.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you had some others.
Back East. Oh, you mean the
Masons one that you did and some other documentaries?
Those are not online at this point because I did that back in my history there. But since 20 years I've been doing this. So, and if you want to educate yourself on some El Paso history for nada, just go to YouTube, the same channel, youtube.com/El Paso History TV. And there is a playlist there of the documentaries. Yes. Check that out. What do you got? You got something going
on? Well, it's like you were saying, all the normal historic sites and lecture events are canceled because of you know what. And that includes Keystone. Unfortunately, we tried to keep open as long as we could until they finally shut us down. So, but I will say that the river trail is open. If you want to walk down along the river, that's open up. You can walk the canals. They're not bothering anybody.
Don't tell anybody. They'll shut it down.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, people need to get out, and it's not that far. So it's
that's still
nice
open.
Day.
Huh?
And okay. Fresh air is good for everyone. I don't care what anybody says.
All right, we have Al Borrego on the radio here, as we have been. But also, Al, I got a caller here named George. George, you're on the radio with Al Borrego.
Good morning, gentlemen.
And
Ms. Sargent,
thank
you for the great diversion for 2 hours.
Oh, excellent.
Thank you.
Glad you appreciate it.
I wanted to ask, where does San Elizario got its name?
Oh, I bet you Al knows that. Al, where does San Elizario get its name?
Well, it actually comes from the French patron saint of the military, San Elizar. And San Elizar is it was the original name of the presidio. Of course, that was during the Spanish time. Once Mexico took over, Mexico kind of changed the name. Not kind of, they did. They changed the name to say it a little bit easier. That's where Elizario comes from.
You know what I did? I went down there with Bernie, and we did an interview that's going to be on that ABC 7 series. And we talked to Ms. Trujillo down there. And what we asked her was, where did this come from? Do you know the history of the Pope who made that guy a saint? It was his nephew. And it was Pope Urban was deathly ill, and Mr. Elciar actually prayed for him, and the guy got well. So when the guy became Pope, he turned around and made his uncle.
Made him a saint.
And that's a bizarre story. I had never heard that before. So, George, you stirred us up pretty good on that. Is that enough for you?
Yeah, I have one more question. Is it true that at one point El Paso, or I guess downtown El Paso, was going to be in San Elizario at one point?
Wait a minute. Rephrase that. Going to be in San Elizario?
Yeah, let me rephrase that. Is it true that at one point it was, I guess, downtown, what we consider downtown, was supposed to be by San Eli?
No.
I think
the county seat.
No.
Talk about the county seat. It moved to El Paso.
Oh, okay.
That's what I think you're talking about.
Close.
And if you want to get into the weeds on that one, they had more votes in El Paso to move that to El Paso than there were people who could vote.
Yeah, kind of interesting. A lot of beer and dollar and silver dollars were being thrown about.
A lot of folks from across the river voted a number. Put your hat on and now go vote back again. Now cut your mustache. One of those kind of things. Anyway, George, thanks for ringing up.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks a lot. And we're going to take one more break here coming up. We do have another break, do we not? You know who's in the control room there? Mike Rivera! What a guy. He's in there doing the buttons in there.
And he's doing such a good job. Our studio is really, really cool. We have a little flashing sign now. It says KTSM. It's going to have a news feed. So if we get bored, we'll tell you what the news is.
And we can see that on the radio. And guess who's the call screener? Number one lady, Shelley Sutherland. Right. Back again. Thank you. Whoa, hey. I hear bells every time. And Shelley just became an angel.
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
And as Shelley, you got your wings now. Good luck with that. I'm not sure that's going to do
She puts
good.
Up with us. She gets,
All right.
She gets a halo.
Al, we'll get back here in a minute. We got to do some more fun things with commercials. You okay with that?
We're good.
I hope so, because we don't have much choice. We should be back in a minute. What's the phone? Oh,
Facebook. Check the El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page.
What'd you do?
Well, just check it out. You can see it's 9,600. Over 9,638 people have checked out Al Borrego and San Elizario.
We put that promo up. I guess I finally got it up late Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And by now, that's how many people have been reached on that promo. Yeah. And that's just the Facebook people. Because a lot of people, good people who are into the history business, they do not look at Facebook. But those who do, we cornered that market, I think.
Yeah. And I share across, and I have a lot of links with museums and places outside of El Paso and Texas and around the country.
Historically related.
Yeah, just so people know we're here and let them know, and sometimes we get listeners from there.
Indeed we do. All right, what's that phone number if they want to ring Gus up?
915-544-KTSM.
Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
If you're new to the show, thank you for showing up. And by the way, if you've been around a while, call your friends and tell them what we're doing here. We're doing something different. We're doing something different.
Yeah.
And what we normally do is announce people's history things that are going on. We got, you know, all kinds of folks on the Mission Trail. We got people over there at the Museum of Art, International Museum of Art. Well, guess what we're going to talk about today?
What?
Same thing. Pepe's.
Because
those guys need some help. I mean, they got some
hurt. They're good friends to us.
They are. And their number is 877-2152. Ring them up. And if you really want to get excited, I know a guy who decided to call him up, do a credit card over the phone. They sent him by FedEx some stuff to San Antonio, of all places.
Yeah.
So they will freeze it, put it in a box. They got special boxes. So if you have a friend in Denver, we did that to somebody in Denver, and if you're pretty sure you can get two-day delivery to wherever you're going, call them up. Do a credit card.
They do that for the kids.
That's just it. If somebody needs some real Mexican food, Pepe's will do that. So get out there and get it in person if you wish. Take out only, 877-2152, and it's at 6761 Donovan. If that's too many numbers, look it up yourself.
Google it.
Yeah. Now, you do Amigos.
Well, I've got Amigos Mexican Food Restaurant. They're at 2000 Montana, and you can call them at 533-0155 to order takeout and pickup. And you also said something about the patio now.
Well, yeah, Hookie's got the patio out there, which you can legally sit there and 6 feet apart, eat the food you buy inside, walk out there and sit out and eat a takeout. Yeah. On his premises. It's nice. It's a nice,
break. It's a nice place
down there.
And
so you can do
this.
So he's got that patio down there. We got another caller. Al Borrego's on the line here, but also we got Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you are on the radio. What is up with Al and you?
Yes. Is this Elizabeth? I mean, are you asking Elizabeth?
You could be.
Are you Elizabeth?
I was fascinated by the history of the Blue Nun.
Yes.
I didn't know any of the history. I just knew that there was a wine. But where can I go to read about it, but, you know, credible? And can you tell me about this conference? It's set for September. So I want to read up on the Blue Nun stories, but, you know, credible. I want to go to a credible site.
You've asked the right guy. His name's Al Borrego. Al, listen to this lady. What's up with her? Go ahead.
Well, there are a lot of sites, like you said. They're pretty credible. They all pretty much say the same thing. I think anything you go to is just fine. The conference, of course, will have Martha Vera there doing a talk on the Blue Nun. We are.
You know what? I'm sorry. Can I? I can't hear you. You said in September. Could you tell me where? Because I can barely hear you.
He's good okay. here. I got news. Both of you are just as good on the radio right now. Turn your radio down and listen to the phone only.
Yeah, I don't have the radio on.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so in September, we've moved our conference to September the 10th through the 13th. On Sunday, Martha Vera will be speaking on the Blue Nun. She'll be speaking on the progress on her sainthood. That's where she'll be focusing on during the conference. But as soon as possible, actually it was supposed to start in May, we'll have a speaker series at the Los Portales Museum in San Elizario, where the conference will also be, on the first Sunday of every month. The first speaker will be Martha Vera speaking about the Blue Nun and the history of the Blue Nun. But that'll be announced as soon as, of course, we get back to normal.
Okay, you know, I'm so sorry. Actually, I'm driving. I didn't write it down, but can I go somewhere?
Websites, phone
yeah.
numbers.
About those dates.
Yeah, Elizabeth, you also for that, you can go online.
Where?
Al. I'm sorry, where?
SanElizarioGenealogy.com.
.com? Okay, SanElizarioGenealogy.com.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you so much. I was fascinated by this story. Great show. Bye bye.
Thank you. See you in the streets and don't hit anything expensive.
Yeah, Elizabeth, if you're listening, also, if you go to our Facebook page, El Paso History Radio Show.com, from last week's show, there is a link that you can go. It's a picture of the Blue Nun, a link to go to a site to learn some information.
And she'll take your requests.
Yeah, she'll take your requests.
She may not answer
them. Put your order in.
Who knows? Hey, Al, do you think that lady is the Blue Nun lady is still operating, or is she out of business?
Well, her focus back in that time seemed to be more of getting the natives baptized. So I think it was more her focus. But it's funny how you said that, because every so often, Martha Vera and I, we're doing something. That's the Blue Nun, you know. So,
ah, yes.
Or is that in the bottle?
Who knows, you know?
Wait a minute now. All right, Al, we got to move on to some other. I would hate to move on from the Blue Nun, but that's one of 26 topics that you've got. And your conference,
right.
When you finally get to it in September, you've got, let's just start from the top. First of all, it's called the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro in the North, but also you're going to do that in the South, are you not?
Right. The idea is the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro in the North and how it relates to the South, how you combine them both. It's a 1,600-mile trail that starts at the Plaza Santo Domingo in Mexico City and goes all the way to Ocoyunque, which is north of Española, New Mexico. That's the basic Camino Real de Tierra Adentro. The part here in the U.S., of course, starts actually south of San Elizario, in south of the town of Tornillo. And it comes all the way up through there, all the way north. So in 2010, the Mexican part of it was nominated and became designated a World Heritage Cultural Trail. UNESCO designated in 2010. The problem was it only got designated to the town of Valle de Allende, which is in southern state of Chihuahua, south of Chihuahua City. From there all the way to here, to the border, is not designated. It's mentioned by UNESCO all the way up to Santa Fe, but it's not designated World Heritage. And when we started looking at the Camino Real and the historical significance of San Elizario, of course, this is the point, and this is why we usually have the conference, the history conference in April, is because on April the 30th is when Don Juan de Oñate had his taking possession of the land when he got to here. He got to here, had a mass, they had the taking possession, and that basically made us New Mexico from then on for almost 200 years.
Well, it was really New Spain, wasn't it? Wasn't it really New Spain at that point?
Yeah, well, it wasn't yet. I mean, here he was still establishing the Northern Territory, the state of New Mexico, of Nuevo Mexico. It was New Spain all the way down to Santa Barbara, and then they had the state of now the state of Chihuahua. That state became part of the Camino Real. The state of New Mexico became. So they were exploring north. South of Zacatecas was the road was actually called El Camino de la Plata, which is the Silver Route. Later on in 2010 is really when the whole thing became the Camino Real, because it was a supply route for the American Southwest for roughly 400 years. And it's still working. If you can, you can still use it. I mean, that's the whole idea of what we're doing, is we don't want the history of the Camino Real, de Tierra Adentro, to become a story that's stored in exhibits and museums. We want it. It's a living history, so we want everybody to live it, feel it.
And you can walk on it. You can go out. You can ride around on it. You can walk on it.
Yeah, we do every day.
You can walk on it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well,
if you go to the south, and you to from Mexico City north, I mean, it's an actual trail. We drive it. In Mexico, they have 55 World Heritage sites along the way.
Well, let's
some of our bridge,
let's
talk a building.
Talk a minute about the fact that this is the first Camino Real into the United States. Because they're all over San Antonio, they're all over California, but this was the first one ever, correct?
Sure, it's the first Camino Real which means it's designated by the king. It's authorized by the king for them to create the trail,
the royal road.
And I mean, pretty much. I mean, that's the royal road coming north. Got extended from Santa Barbara all the way to Okeowenge, north of Santa Fe.
Well, it's interesting that people
by Don Juan de Oñate.
People in El Paso do not get it because we're not taught this history generally in our schools. I'm an example of that. But the point is, this is one of the most historic corridors in North America. And we need to know that.
Absolutely.
Need to know that. Yes. Well, go on.
And that's the important part about it. You know, that's why we've taken at San Ysidro Genealogy Historical Society, we've taken on the mission of exposing it to the rest of the world, our part, the American side. At least, but you have to connect it all. You have to tell the whole history so they really understand it. Because here in the U.S., it's a lot different. You go to Mexico City, they got beautiful buildings. They're all made of rock. I mean, you can just, it's amazing. Here, of course, we have adobe, so it's harder to hold up. Most of it's disappeared. But our heritage, our history, our culture is still here.
The road
traditions are still here.
The road is still
and
here.
The road is still visible.
And what you do when you're standing like there, let's say at the Socorro Mission, that's now called Socorro Road. It's also our mission trail. It is also the Camino Real. It's all three at once.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
yeah, thanks to some hard work by a lot of locals, they started like 12 years ago trying to get signage up. And finally, 2 years ago, the signs went up.
Well, that
there's 100-plus signs up that show you where it is.
That was the BLM, you know, Gary Williams,
and
Bernie Sargent.
Yeah.
And
Williams, Bernie, and the whole clan. You know, they worked for years.
And those signs are fabulous. All right, let's take another person on your list here. I've got 26 people. We're never going to get through all of them. But another one is Professor Limonar Soto Salazar. What is the history of Zacatecas? Is that it?
Right. See, Zacatecas is very important. It was the ending point. That's where the Camino de la Plata used to end. So the idea for these speakers, and we'll have different panels is what they are. That's why you see so many on this.
Oh, okay.
Actually, the list is now 30. I don't remember what the April 1st list, which I think that's the one you have.
Right.
But we'll have a panel. That particular one, the ideas for these gentlemen, which are part of the National Institute, the guys that actually got the work done in Mexico to get it designated. These guys are going to come in, and they're going to tell what it has done for them with the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro, as far as enhancing, you know, their tourism, their heritage tourism, you know, to have a better understanding of how historically significant the Camino is. So they'll come and talk about what they've been doing, what their preservation efforts have done.
It's interesting.
What their designation did.
It's interesting, Al Borrego. What you've got here is a list of a whole bunch of people. Most of them have doctor in front of them. I presume those are all PhDs.
Yeah, they're all PhDs, most of them.
Wow.
I think 95% of them.
Well, you've got a great panel listed here. We're going to take a break and come back and talk more about this. You've got a tremendous amount of people, the World Heritage designation, the culture of Mexico people. This is going to be an interesting conference when it finally gets to play.
The list is amazing.
In September. So what have you done on Facebook? Have you done something interesting there?
Oh, I'm putting Al's picture up. I'm kind of putting a picture, kind of a combo of picture of San Eli and Al and the Genealogical Society. And I'll also have a link on our Facebook page to their website.
Excellent. Good stuff. All right. Taking a break
here.
And Al, don't go away. I'll come back in a minute. In the meantime, we'll take a call or two if you have that magic phone number.
That's
Melissa.
Right. 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTS.
Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Ah, there's a music show going on in my
head. Stairway to Heaven.
How did it get there? Look out. Hey, but the thing is, we forgot, but we will never forget Mission Del Rey Southwest. They got merchandise going on down there, and it's at missiondelrey.com, and you can look at their catalog.
Yeah, you can shop online with them because that's where they started their business. So that's really cool.
So they're out there. They're another good sponsor. And another one is Patrick Tuttle Real Estate. He's still out there, still doing stuff.
They're still cutting loans.
PatrickTuttle.com. And that's the legacy real estate that he does. We thank him for that. Okay. Al Borrego, we got you back here. Talk about another speaker or two that you got. I'm just going down your list. If you want to jump around, it's up to you. But Secretary of Culture of Mexico? Who's that?
The Secretary of Culture of Mexico. Who do we have in there?
Guadalupe
Lozano, I think.
Lozada.
Guadalupe Lozada, yeah. Yeah.
Now, let me ask.
Lozada, she'll be down here to talk about exactly what that's part of cultural heritage as well, exactly what they have on the Camino Real. It's like I said, the UNESCO designation was so important to them and has done so much. There are 11 states in Mexico that are part of the Camino Real. All of them have a designation in there, except for Chihuahua only has one city, and they don't have the rest of the trail designated. So the idea is to get all these people down here and tell us what it's done for them. We had a meeting in San Luis Potosí back in October. And all of the delegates were there. All the directors of the National Institute were there. And everybody decided that, hey, it's time to get the rest of it done and to connect everybody because everybody's doing their own thing. But if you make it work as a complete 1,600 miles, you can create a heck of a tourist attraction.
I got a question.
So that's what the idea is. And everybody's got to do the work. But you got to get the rest of it designated. So we figured out that it would be best to do it binationally. That way you can get it done a lot quicker. And when you add the United States to it, I mean, it adds a lot more to it. There's a lot of history here in the U.S. side.
Now, what you've got going on here is fabulous. I got a question from a gringo, though. You ready? Is all this in Spanish or English or both?
It's in both. We have it all translated, simultaneous translation.
Okay.
Oh, how cool.
Excellent.
So you would just wear a headset. If they're speaking in English, they'll talk in Spanish. If they're speaking in Spanish, it comes out in English.
And if,
so
you're, Japanese,
so.
You're out of luck. That's tough. They probably know Spanish and English.
It's going to be a little difficult, yeah.
Get a little phone app. There you go. I mean, they get a lot of those.
That's
now.
True. There's a phone app now for everything.
True.
Okay, keep going down here. INAH, Durango. What does that mean, INAH?
INAH is that Instituto Nacional de Antropología y Historia, National Institute of Anthropology and History. That's kind of like the National Park Service in Mexico.
Okay.
Those are the guys that actually got the designation done. They maintain the sites. They They work on the sites. They do all of that.
How many
basically
sites?
Basically, what we're doing. Yeah.
How many sites are you talking about in Mexico that are UNESCO sites? Is it 11 or 12?
They've got 55 sites.
Oh, wow.
And they also have, on the Camino, this is just on the Camino,
right.
55 sites and six entire cities are UNESCO designated sites. There are tons of other ones. I mean, there's like Fakime, which is a couple of hours from here, which is a indigenous site that dates back to 1010, which is fabulous to go to. That area is a UNESCO site. There's a lot of other World Heritage sites in Mexico. I mean, all the Mayan temples, all of that that they have as well. But
yeah.
Those are not on the Camino Real.
Okay.
We're talking just Camino Real stuff.
All right. The Casas Grandes in the Pacame, that's not actually on the Camino Real, is it?
Correct.
Okay.
It's the Camino a Casas Grandes.
Okay.
Which is a Camino off the, but it's not a Camino Real.
You know, it's
just like Santa Fe. There's a Camino a Santa Fe.
Oh.
See?
It's too bad that thing down there in Casas Grandes is just out in the open adobe. It's melting. You know, they should put some.
Yeah. They have the INAH, what they do is they have a project continuously going where they repack.
Oh.
They repack those walls. We were there last August, and they have a new dig going. On one of the three-story buildings, and we were allowed to go out there with the group that we were with, and it's fabulous, and they gave us a tour of exactly how it works, how they keep continuously adding to it, and then we got a special tour of the special collection there at the museum. That's a tour. If anybody wants to go, we go every August, at the beginning of August, we go do a conference in the town of Janos, which is 15 minutes from Casas Grandes.
Well, so you do a whole bunch of stuff.
Another presidio.
You do a bunch of stuff besides this one conference that's coming up now in September. You're saying you go a whole lot of places.
Yeah, we do a conference every year in Mexico City. San Isidro Genealogical Historical Society and CARSO, which is the Carlos Slim Foundation. It's the Center for the Studies of the History of Mexico in Mexico City. We get together and we do a conference in Mexico City every year.
Fabulous.
We do that one in October.
That is fabulous. We got you to 2 hours there, I do believe. Is your cell phone going to stand 2 hours?
It's fully charged.
Okay,
there we go.
Plug it in. Because we're going to have to take a break here shortly, and we'll do the news and all that kind of stuff. But this is interesting. Al Borrego is the guy on the phone here, our main guest. Melissa, you and I are still here 6 feet apart.
Yes, we are.
Doing our thing. Shelley Sutherland in there taking your phone calls as needed. And Mike Rivera, the man on the board in there, doing his thing. We do very much appreciate y'all working in the control room.
Well, we appreciate it.
And don't stop now.
No.
Do the news and come back, okay? See you after the news. Thanks a lot.
And now...